And now would you hear the reading from the Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, first off, I want to show a lot of appreciation to Pastor Sherry. I emailed her a couple of months ago and asked her about possibly being able to come back and preach here at this church. And I had no idea that my schedule was really crazy and a very much of a pain to figure out when I was coming. But she kept trying to work things around and figure it out, so I'm very appreciative to the opportunity. And it's really good just to be home. I was sitting in the early service this morning, kind of in the back like I normally like to do, because I'm not a person that likes to be up front, so this is an interesting thing for me. But getting to worship with my church family, I've been to a lot of different churches over the years based off of the fact that I work at different churches, I go to seminary and they make you visit different churches. But there's something special about being able to come to the church where you grew up in, to come home. And even coming back into Alabaster yesterday, I drove up about, two or three to my parents' house, and I was greeted by one of our neighbors. She had the garage open, and they were out working on her brother's car. And Miss Angie, she walks across the street, and she's like, "Welcome home, Reed." And I just realized at that point that I'm very lucky. I'm lucky in the aspect of I grew up at 112 Red Oak Lane, Alabaster, Alabama. And this street that I grew up on, it was unique in what we think about in today's world. It's unique in the aspect of we knew everybody. There were about six or seven families on our street that we all knew. We would go hang out on 4th of July or New Year's Eve. And if you ever needed a babysitter, you knew that you could just call Angie or Trish or Connie down the street and be like, "Hey, can you watch Reed for a second?" Or, "Hey, Reed, go over to Miss Trish's house and get a cup of milk for me." It was just a close-knit neighborhood. It was a good community. And I just realized that I was really lucky in that. Because even now, living in Atlanta, all of the places that I live, I don't know that I have known one of my neighbors. And that's just how today's world is. We've become more of a individualistic world. We like to just stay to ourselves, and we like to, you know, be on our phones or our computers and kind of hide behind those. And we've lost this community aspect for whatever reason. Even though that people will say because of technology we're more connected, I would argue that we're less connected because of it. But yet we still, as humans, we want that that community, that interaction with others. And as Christians, community is one of the most important aspects of us and our faith. It's one of the things that helps grow our faith the best, is having that community around us. And I think this scripture is a great example of that. We see Paul, he has this vision. He has this vision of a guy whom he's never met, and yet, what does he do? Paul decides to go, we're going to go to Macedonia, we're going to go find this person. And so him and his group, they go. They go to all these cities, working their way down to Macedonia, and they look and look and look and never find this person that was in his vision. But what they do find is a lady named Lydia. Now, we see that Lydia was someone who believed in God, but through the teachings of Paul, and what Paul and his group that around him taught about Christ, she and her family decided to be baptized. They made that decision to listen to the teachings of Christ. And then what she says at the end of that is really important and really challenging at the same time. She says, if you believe in my faith, come into my house. Come into my house. That is something that's hard for a lot of people to say. Someone knocks at your door, you open it up, regardless if you know the person or not, most of the time we will sit there and just talk to them at our doorstep. Like, hey, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. All right, well, I'll see you later. Letting someone actually into our house is one of the most intimate things that we can do as a family, as a, you know, a community. It's one of those things that you have your house that is messy and you're worried about people seeing the mess that is going on. You're worried about people seeing the way that your kids act at the house. Maybe they, like me and my brother, ran around like chickens with our head cut off. So it's one of those things that we stay away from. It's one of those intimate things that we're not sure we want to actually let someone into our house. But then you develop a relationship or you develop a trust and you do let that person into your house. You become more vulnerable. But as the church, we should be letting anyone and everyone into our house. As a church, we are a community of faith. We're a community of believers. We are here to help grow one another's faith. A lot of times we focus on the aspect of having that quiet time or having that alone time with God, that prayer, the devotional time. But while that is very important, I would argue that the communal aspect of having a community that believes around you is just as important. You can't have one without the other. You hear all these churches that they talk about small groups being important. They talk about Sunday school being important. They always want to try to find the ministry that you feel comfortable in, the ministry that you feel that God is calling you to, the people that you feel normal around, that you feel comfortable with. They're doing that because they know how much having community around you will help you in your faith journey. Having that person who will listen to you when you're not sure what's going on. Because I know for me, I'm a person that if I'm talking to someone, usually I work out my own problems just by saying it out loud to the person whom I'm talking to, whether or not they've actually said anything. But then there are also times where you get advice from those people. You gain wisdom from their experiences, ones that you might not have had yet. You get perspectives that you might have never thought of before, perspectives that really open up the way you think about things. You learn about beliefs that you might not have thought about before, and it helps shape the way you believe, the faith that you have, the communal aspect of Christianity is so important. But you think about it, we are all taught to have this individual time, but if we're supposed to be the light for Christ, are we not more powerful if we're doing it with a community than if we're alone? Think about on Christmas Eve when we do the candlelight service. If you only had one candle that was lit in the darkness, you could see a little bit, but you couldn't see the whole sanctuary or the whole room that you're in. But then when everyone in this sanctuary lights a candle, the light that comes from that, from having more than just that one, is so much brighter. You can see in the darkness so much more. Because there is darkness in this world. And as a community of believers, we should be coming together so that our light shines even brighter in the darkness. So that our light is what helps people out of the brokenness of their lives. So that our light is what they cling on to. Because our light is being ignited by the love of Christ. It's what God wants us to do. It's what Christ taught us to do. And we do that so much in this church. It was really cool this morning. The confirmands were helping out in the 8:30 service. And as someone who went through confirmation at this church, to see a group of kids who have decided that they want to be a part of our church, it's a big commitment for everyone in this sanctuary and everyone that was in the Restore building this morning. It's a commitment for all of us. Because we, the church, are the ones that are going to invest in these confirmands. We're the ones that are going to help grow their faith and help them work through things as they get older. They're going to remember the relationships that they have with people in this church. They might not remember all of the lessons that they have, but they're going to remember the relationships and the people that have poured into them, the people that have loved them. They're going to remember the relationships that they had with each other. And those relationships and those bonds are going to be what helps grow their faith. Because that's what happened for me. We started going to this church when I was in third grade. We had another church that we kind of sporadically went to, but never really on a normal basis. I remember plenty of times pre-Alabaster First United Methodist Church that on Sunday morning, I was all about the cartoons, let me tell you. And so, for whatever reason, we started going to church when I was in third grade. We had our neighbors, Tom and Trish Tyler, they invited us. They said, hey, we go to First Methodist of Alabaster. Y'all should come over there and try it. And since my mom apparently is a Methodist and that's the only kind of church she wanted to go to, it was an easy decision. But we started to come here. And I started to get involved in the children's program. I started going to Sunday school. I started waking up early so that I could catch a ride to the contemporary service that I remember was in here and done with overhead projectors. Ellie Walker would change the song after each one. I woke up so that I could go ride with Mr. Tom and go to that service. And then I would stay for this service because it's the one my parents went to. I got into the youth group. I started getting even more involved. I started taking on leadership roles in youth. And then as in high school, I started taking leadership roles in the church. I think for probably 2 years, I ran the sound at every service. I was always here. And I did it because I loved it. I loved the people here. And the people here, they opened up their doors to me. They said, "You are a part of our family now. Come into our house. Come into our house." And because of this church, this community of believers, I'm standing right here. I remember sitting out there thinking, there's no way that I will ever be the type of person that will stand in that pulpit. But that is not what happened. Instead, I went off to college, majored in religious studies, worked at a church at age 20 as a youth director, been doing that the last 5 years, and have still had the support of this church, this community. I have people that check up on me. I have people that pray for me. I have people that love me. People that have been examples of Christ's love for me. And my accomplishments, the things that I'm doing for Christ, as much as it is that I want to say I can do this on my own, that is not true. This church, all the accomplishments that I achieve, it is just as much the church's accomplishments. Because you are the one that helped grow my faith. You are the one that said, "Come into my house," and that made this my home. And what I hope this church will continue to do is let those people in. When someone walks through the door, that this church will continue to say, "Come into my house and be a part of our community. Come so that we can grow in our faith together. Come so that we can add a light that will make this church's light even brighter. So that this church can be an example of God's love. So that this church can be an example of the teachings of Christ that we all have learned. So that this church can help lead us out of darkness. Because with our light, you have the conference coming together, and then you have the United Methodist Church, you have the Universal Church. We want to continue to show the Universal Church's light and make it brighter than it ever has on this world before. Because that is what Christ has called us to do. And what we're about to do today is very fitting that it's Communion Sunday. Because Christ came together with his community, the disciples. And he took bread with each and every one of them. And then he shared the cup with each and every one of them. So it's only fitting that today we, as a community of faith, as the community of First United Methodist Church of Alabaster, come together to share at God's table. You bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for the ability to come today and worship with this community, this church, these people. And we just ask that you help guide us to be a community that shines so bright for your love, that helps others recognize your Son, Christ. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.